It is great to see you, Purpose Church. So good to be together here online. Today, we're continuing our spring series called A Better Way, how Jesus can show us a better way to deal with life's challenges. And today, we are talking about change. And this is tremendous timing because of the video that Kimberly and I sent out this past week, which is going to lead to major changes for all of us here at Purpose Church. And I want us all to be on the same page as a church family. So for those that haven't seen this yet, I would like to show it now. So let's watch it together. Great to see you, Purpose Church family. We love you so much. As Kimberly and I have shared with you over the past couple of years, we've been praying about the right time to retire. I've been in ministry now for over 50 years. I can't believe it, I know. I was just thinking this morning that I got my first ministry paycheck at the age of 16. So for 50 years, and 44 of those years have been as a lead pastor, and 31 of those years have been as your lead pastor here at Purpose Church. And they have been the best years of our lives. We have loved being your pastor and pastor's wife, and this past year in particular has been my happiest year in ministry. It has been just a thrill to be a part of our church's unprecedented and historic growth. Just amazing what's happened over the past 2 years. We have by far, I've talked about you this many times, the strongest and most outstanding and gifted staff that we have had in our 31 years here. But the Lord has clearly told us that this is the perfect time to move on to the next chapter of our lives. I will turn 68.
No way.
I know. On September 29th. So we will be retiring the 1st of October of this year.
Change is hard. And we know for some of you, this news will make for a really big change, even bittersweet, as our family transitions into retirement. We know that you'll be glad for us, for Glenn, to experience a little less stress and a lot more relaxation in these years coming up. We will be sad too, since some of you've grown up with us, and Glenn is the only lead pastor that you've ever known. Also know that our kids and our grandkids and I am really excited for this next chapter of our lives. Over the past years, nearly every vacation we've taken has been spent traveling to be with our family. And of course, throughout the year, I have been able to spend more time with the grandkids than Glenn because my time has been more flexible. But whenever possible, like so many of you, perhaps when you have out-of-town family, we make every single holiday and vacation and work trip count. As we've been sharing these photos with you, you can see a bit of what we do when we can get away. And our goal is to make a lot more of these memories. Visiting our beloved national parks, hiking, canoeing, being grandma and grandpa, pop-pop on the school field trips, just being present with all of them. What we have not enjoyed so much is when pop-pop has had to be double-minded between work and family. I'm sure many of you are the same, and you know what we're talking about. Our retired friends have told us that it is so nice to not have to be so divided in our loyalties. As Glenn was here with Felicity falling over his head while he answered emails on our last trip, or the girls pulling off his glasses so he couldn't do any more work on his phone. One story from this youngest grandson of ours is really representative of what all of our kids and grandkids have been saying to us, and it's really motivated our decision to retire this fall. Jem said to me on one of my solo Grammy trips recently to Seattle, "Grammy, I really wish Pop-Pop could come with you. I just don't get to see him enough. Maybe we could build a house in our backyard so you can stay with us." Well, Jem, moving isn't in our plans quite yet. But yes, we will be winding down things here after, would you say, half a century of ministry. Lord willing, we'll be focusing on our family travels, but also exploring some missions opportunities that really interest us, and likely visiting John and Natalia and their family on the mission field.
Now, we will never stop serving Jesus and sharing him with others because he saved us and he changed our lives long before we got into full-time ministry. He has been so, so good to us through all of our years. We will just no longer do so as a lead pastor and as a lead pastor's wife. Now, as Kimberly just said, this is a significant change for our church after 31 years. But the good news is that Purpose Church is not Glenn and Kimberly's church.
Right.
Praise God. It is God's church. And it has been going strong for 154 years, over a century and a half.
Yeah.
And I believe that God will continue to protect and bless his church until Jesus returns. Mm-hmm. This church was strong and healthy before we came, and it will be strong and healthy after we leave.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, and I know I am prone to exaggerate on rare occasion, but in my research, I can find no other church in church history in the United States or globally that God has blessed more over such a long time as Purpose Church. And I believe that God will continue to do so in the years ahead. In closing, I ask Kimberly to read this passage over you, our beloved church family.
It comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, may he comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing that you do and say.
Amen. And God bless each one of you, and may God bless his church as we go through this next chapter together. I know that this news brings up all kinds of emotions and questions. It does for us as well. As a matter of fact, today is the definition of bittersweet for us. So we are having a church town hall meeting Sunday, April 21st at 2 p.m. in the worship center so that we can share more information and answer any of your questions. Earlier this year, we informed the Board of Trustees of our desire to retire so that they would have time to prepare detailed plans for the lead pastor succession process. At the town hall meeting, the trustees will share the results of the all-church survey that was conducted last month, as well as plans for the lead pastor search committee. Now, if you have questions or you would like more information, please go to purposechurch.com/retirement. And you can get more information, have a chance to ask some of your questions there. Now, when you talk about change, the elephant in the room for our church is my retirement. But what is the elephant in the room of your life when it comes to change? You know, I want to preach this sermon for our church and the change that we're about to go through as a church. But I really also want to preach it for the individual changes that you are going through in your life. So I hope you can think of a change that you're going through and apply this message to that, not just to the picture of what's going on in our church, but to your life and make it personal as well. There's this thing I love called the change curve. And all of you are somewhere along this change curve with regard to changes in your life, but also in this thing that Kimberly and I just announced. And maybe some of you are at the very beginning. This is the first you've heard of. 3 minutes ago, 4 minutes ago is when you first heard that. And then, of course, Kimberly and I, because we've anticipated this for a while, we're towards the end of this. And so time goes by. So here's our current state. And when you're in the current state, the concern is for past and potential losses. Is this change going to bring loss within my life or within our church? But as time goes on, all of a sudden we get to the point where our concern switches for future and potential gains. Hey, could this be an exciting time? Could there be some exciting things out there for us? So at the beginning, because of the disruption in our lives, we feel resistance to that within us. And so there's shock, denial, fear, anxiety, stress, anger, frustration, confusion, maybe even depression. But then as time goes on, Lord willing, there comes a point of resignation and acceptance. And then it's curiosity. I wonder what the future is going to be like here at Purpose Church. And then some skepticism. I wonder what it's going to be like in the future here at Purpose Church. But then hope, creativity, then engagement, and then even impatience. Let's get going on it. And excitement. And I hope by the end of 6 months, by October 1st, I hope that we're all at the place of impatience. Maybe you're already there. I think of the country song from the 60s, How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away? I love that. How can you miss me? Glenn, we can't miss you until you go away. So maybe even now there's some impatience for some of you, but then I hope that we all will get close to that excitement after this six-month period. President John F. Kennedy said, change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. And so I want to talk about seven things that God does for us during times of change. And you know, I'm praying that God is going to use me as your pastor over the next 6 months to do these same seven things for you. That is my goal. If you want to know my goal as your pastor for the next 6 months, these seven things are my goal. Now, today we're going to move quickly through the first six, but I'm going to come back to them in the months ahead. And we're going to spend a little bit more time on number seven, because that is where I am at today. I am grieving. And number seven is God grieves with us. And I grieve with you, and you grieve with me. And so I am grieving. That's where I'm at today. And some of you may be there as well. So I'll spend a little bit more time on number seven. But number one, what does God do during times of change? He blesses. And we can see this in the change from Jacob to his son Joseph, and then to his grandsons Manasseh and Ephraim. Genesis chapter 48, then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth. I hope as your pastor that I will leave blessing you as our church family. And then number two, God encourages us. You can see this in the change from Moses to Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I hope as your pastor to encourage all of us as we go through these next few months. And then number three, he prepares us. And we can see this in the change from David to Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. We are prepared for this purpose, church. We've got this. We're prepared for this. I love that quote from Paige Buchers, the basketball star, after one of the victories that she had in the March Madness. She said, I did all that I could so that God could do all that I can't. I did all that I could so that God could do all that I can't. I love that. About 5 years ago, I began to prepare us for this transition. As a matter of fact, I believe that we are already about halfway through this transition. If you have been blessed by the past 2 or 3 years of our church, you will most likely be blessed by the next years to come. I want to encourage you with that. The largest container ship in history is the Danish vessel, the Emma Maersk. This ship takes a mile and a half to make a turn on the open ocean. A mile and a half to make a turn. And it takes a 154-year-old church about the same distance to make a turn. And so after the pandemic, we turned the rudder. We turned the rudder. And I believe that we are already much of the way through that turn to reach the next generation for Christ. We did all that we could do, and then God stepped in to do what we couldn't do. Three things have happened in the last couple of years that were beyond our control, and only God could have done it. First of all, we've experienced, as I mentioned in the earlier video, unprecedented growth. If you have come to Purpose Church in the past few years, you are an answer to our prayers. You're an answer to my prayers. If you've just come within the last few years, I believe that you are here to help us get through this transition, this 154-year-old church, get through its next transition. I believe that's why God called you here. Like Esther in chapter 4, verse 14. And who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. You have come for such a time as this. Number two is historic financial stability. If you are giving to Purpose Church, you are an answer to our prayers, which has put us in this excellent position in order to go through a transition. And then number three, finally, God has practically dropped out of heaven the finest church staff that I have ever known. As a matter of fact, it's actually the strongest church staff since the Church of Antioch in 47 AD, which had Paul, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen. Now, if Kimberly were next to me, like in that earlier video, she would do those eyes, which she does when I'm possibly exaggerating some. So we call those Ellen Griswold eyes from Christmas Vacation. Leaders like Pastor Larry, our worship pastor, and Pastor Ashley, our group's pastor, and Pastor Marcus, our young adults pastor, and Pastor David, our Spanish pastor, they've all come to us within the last year for such a time as this. You know, I love this because if you're about to change your quarterback, if you're about to switch quarterbacks, it's wonderful. If your offensive line, your receiving core, your running game, and defense are super strong, and ours is, we can easily survive the switching to most likely a younger quarterback. Am I helping you in any way to move along that change curve? I hope that I am, and I hope that I will be able to as the months go by. And then number four, he empowers. And we can see this in the change from Elijah to Elisha. You see the switch, the handoff that happens in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 7 through 15. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and he tore it in two in grief. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the back of the Jordan, bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. He empowers. And then number five, he points. And we can see this in the change from King Uzziah to his son, King Jotham. Uzziah reigned as king over Judah from 792 BC to 740 BC for 52 years. So the nation of Israel, of Judah, they were very shaken by his death because he had been king for so long. It shook them up. What are we going to do now? We've had this king for over half a century. So God pointed them to himself to remind them that even though their longtime king was gone, their God was still on his throne. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Isaiah is given this vision right after Uzziah had died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Oh my goodness, he was given that vision that God was on his throne. And even though they had lost their long-term king, God was still on his throne. He was awesome and could easily deal with the change that was going on within their nation. You know, leaders come and go, but God is forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God gave them an even better king than Uzziah. Uzziah's son, Jotham, is one of the few persons in the Bible from whom we read nothing bad. Just one of the few. Uzziah was a godly king. He was a wonderful king. But his son was even better, even better. It says in 2 Chronicles 27, Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. He did not enter God's temple, which was an improper thing that Uzziah had done. So God gave him an even better king after Uzziah. And then number six, he warns, which we can see in the change from Paul to the Ephesian elders. Acts chapter 20, Paul says to them, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number within the church, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard." You know, I quoted a Democratic president earlier. So here's a quote from a Republican president. It's called the Ronald Reagan Doctrine, which is, "Do not speak ill of fellow Republicans." He must be rolling in his grave right now. Now, the Purpose Church doctrine has been, "Do not speak ill of fellow Christians." We have never wanted to be the kind of church that builds itself by criticizing other Christians, who basically say, well, their message is basically, we do it right all the time. Other churches don't. So come to our church where we do it right all the time. We don't want to be that kind of church. And many of you have told me that this is something you really appreciate about Purpose Church. But over the next 6 months, I will on occasion, not regularly, but on occasion, violate that doctrine. If we could put it back up there once again. I will on occasion, rare occasion, occasionally violate the Purpose Church doctrine. During our time of transition, I am actually way more worried about Christian wolves than non-Christian wolves. But we'll talk about that more in the future. It's going to be exciting. Pastor Glenn Unchained. Pastor Glenn Unchained and Unhinged. So that should be an exciting time. And then number seven, he grieves. God grieves with us. He is grieving with us, Purpose Church, which we can see in the change between Paul and his life and Paul on his way to heaven. So as we kind of make this transition to this final point in our study, let's watch this together.
I don't know how anyone could go through a death of a loved one or even just being happy without Jesus in their life. My name is Jackie Rosa. I have been going to this church since I was in about the fourth grade. I love this church. Sundays, I teach second grade Purpose Kids. I have been teaching so many years that now I have children of parents who I taught, and actually that goes back two generations. This is the third generation of some of the parents that I have taught. Once my husband and I retired, we started traveling. We were not people who liked to sit at home and do nothing. We were people who liked to be doing something. My husband, Jerry, passed in July of 2023. We were married for 71 years, and they were happy years. They were very good years. We raised two wonderful children and grandchildren, and I have a great-great-grandson. He makes sure he calls me, and he makes sure that, you know, that I don't have a sad day. It's hard. I think the worst part after he passed was the evenings are hard. You know, when you're used to discussing something with something, or you see something on television and you turn around to make a comment about this, you know, and he's not there. But right now, for me, the hardest part is closets. I have not been able up to this point to go in and remove his clothing and things. It's like erasing him. I know that's not the case, but that's the feeling you get, and that's why it's been so very, very hard to do this. I try not to dwell on it, because I would be dishonoring God and I'd be dishonoring my husband if I didn't go ahead and live my life, you know, to the very fullest. You can be sad and you can cry, and that's okay, but I can always feel God there. I don't let myself just sit around and think about something like this. So I wrote the story of my life. I am in the process of writing a second cookbook. The first cookbook I wrote, my friends tell me it wasn't about the recipes, it was about all of the sayings and scriptures and stuff that are through that cookbook. So that's my projects, but I would just so advise you, you know, to do something like this, because it gets your mind on you and your life, but it takes your mind off of dwelling on something that's very unhealthy for you. Even though there may be a lot of pain there, the only way and the better way is to have Jesus in your heart. He's there. He promised that, and he does not break his promises.
My goodness, that was beautiful. And Jackie is just a superstar, has taught here our kids for so long and so faithful. And, you know, the loss, like she's talked about, change and grief, it can lead to loneliness. Now, I don't want in any way compare the loss of a spouse to something like retirement, but it does apply this principle to any loss we have, whatever size of loss it might be, small or large. But you know, as I compare it to my retirement, since the announcement of our retirement, I'll confess to you, I'm feeling lonely. I am already missing you, my wonderful church family. Now, we're still going to be around somewhat, but I'm grieving? I'm grieving the future loss of that pastor-people relationship. And we see this in Paul's life. Here are the reasons for Paul's loneliness. First of all, his location. He was in prison. The time of year, winter, is coming. And his season of life, he's about to leave for heaven. In 2 Timothy 4:21, he says, "Do your best to get here before winter." And you can almost feel his loneliness and his longing for companionship when he makes that plea. And then another reason was his future. In a few months, he's going to be beheaded by Nero. Wow, I keep reminding myself, this could be worse. Okay, this retirement thing, you know, you could be facing being beheaded by the Roman emperor. Chapter 4, verse 6, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. His relationships. Paul was losing his relationships and for a variety of reasons, some of them not so bad, some of them not so good. He says in verse 9, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. And then in verse 12, he says, I sent. So this was his own choice. So he's lonely because of good things that he himself had chosen to do. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Some of his loneliness was his own doing. And then in verse 20, Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. And then his critics. Who is a critic in your life right now? Just point to them if they're in the room with you right now. Don't do that. Just kidding. But who's a critic? Every married person that's watching this maybe is pointing to their spouse right now. But who's a critic in your life right now? And doesn't criticism make you feel lonely? Your friends, you know, they try to encourage you, but they're not the ones being criticized. You're the ones being criticized. And so you feel alone in that. He says in verse 14, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. And then the next category is his friends. Your friends are only human. Remember that and give them grace. Cut them some slack because your friends are only human. So sometimes they will let you down and sometimes it'll be intentional, but sometimes it'll be inadvertent. He says in verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But now let's finish with five ways to navigate change and loneliness. Number one, he reminded himself of his future in Christ. Verse 7 and 8, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Imagine Jesus at the finish line of your life. Remember that when you're going through difficult times of change. Number two, he sought help from the people that he had previously helped. You know, whatever you're going through, we have a saying here at Purpose Church, we are better together. You're not alone. You're not alone. We are in this together. Verse 9, he says, do your best to come to me quickly. He wanted community. He wanted to be connected with other people while he was going through this change of anticipating going to heaven. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Now, there's a backstory to that because Paul and Barnabas had actually split and gone different ways because they disagreed about John Mark. Mark had failed them on the first missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to give him a second chance. Paul did not. And so they went their separate ways, and Barnabas took Mark and went one direction, and Paul took Silas and went a different direction. Actually, God blessed it because now there were two missionary teams where previously there had been just one. But it's so cool, this passage right here, because it says that later in his life, he forgave him. He reconciled. And you know, maybe one of the reasons that adds to our loneliness is there's some people we need to forgive. There's some people that we have a broken relationship with that we need to restore that relationship. You need to forgive them and ask for their forgiveness if they need to forgive you. And this happened with Paul and Mark. He says, get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. And then verse 21, do your best to get here before winter. Then number three, he took care of his physical needs. There's a tendency when you're lonely to neglect your physical needs. So here Paul in verse 13, he says, when you come, bring the cloak. We assume this is like a winter cloak that he had left behind because it was summer. Well, bring my cloak. I'm cold here in this prison. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And then number four, he put the right kind of things into his mind and continued to encourage others. Verse 13, bring not only my cloak, but also my scrolls, especially the parchments. He says, as long as I'm in prison, I might as well spend the time writing more books to be added to the New Testament. And so these scrolls and parchments, this would have been scripture. This would have been other writings that would encourage him. He encourages others. Verse 19, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. He says in verse 21, Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. And then number five, he remembered. And Purpose Church, remember, in whatever changes we go through together, whatever changes are happening in your life, any changes that are happening in our church's life, remember that Jesus is our ultimate companion. He says in verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side. He's going to stand by our side as we go through this together. And whatever individual changes that you're going through right now, wherever you are on that change curve, he is standing with you. He's going to walk with you through that in the months ahead, whatever it is personally or what it is in our church's life. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. That's what we want for Purpose Church. The whole point of transitions is to say, Lord, can we be even more effective at proclaiming the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I pray for each person that's watching this. And with regard to our retirement announcement, I pray that just wherever they're at on that change curve, that you will walk with them and we will walk together and to the point of excitement about the future that you have for our church. But then, Lord, I especially pray individually for every person watching or listening right now that whatever change they're going through, there might be something in their life that they're going through from one thing to another, and it's stressful and it's scary and they're anxious about it. And I just pray that you will encourage them right now that as they keep their eyes on you, that you will journey with them to the next thing in their life. And we believe it's going to be even better. Forgetting the things that are behind and pressing forward to what Christ has called us to, we strive to finish the race that Jesus has given us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody joining me here online said, amen and amen.